Happy podcast day, guys. It's Nicole. How are you? You've reached the Cure for Chronic Pain, my podcast. Hey, I'm a little tired because I stayed up, well, I won't say late, but late for me, watching the whole Super Bowl and really enjoying it with my kids. So I'm recording this a few days before it airs. And what a great game. What a great game. You know, I don't like football, so don't hate me or hate me, but I don't like football. It's not that I don't like football. I just am not a football fan, nor am I a sports fan of any kind. And so it's just unusual for me to really get into the game like I did last night. And it was a really hectic weekend. My kids, my two daughters are dancers, and we were at a ballet competition all weekend, and we were about 2 hours from home. So we got home last night right at 6:30, and my three other kids were home. They had been home their maiden voyage, their home alone weekend, and they did a great job. I don't see any evidence of raging parties in my house. And so we walked right in and we just flipped on the Super Bowl because, you know, you just do what everybody else is doing. You put on the Super Bowl and watch the commercials. And so I turn on the game, and I'm serious. I mean, you guys can openly make fun of me. I didn't know who was playing in the Super Bowl until the morning of the Super Bowl. That is how out of touch I am. I am very deeply in touch with a lot of things, but not professional sports. And I also don't like chocolate. So just go ahead and just judge right now, all of it. Anyway, so I figure out in the first few minutes of the game that Kansas City is the underdog. And I am just, if there's any religion I have, it's I root for the underdog. And I've always liked an underdog story ever since I was a kid. And so we are watching the Super Bowl. And it just occurred to me as I'm sitting there. So my son, who's 15, he came and he sat right next to me on the couch. I wouldn't call it cuddling. I wouldn't go that far. He's 15. He's a man. He's not going to cuddle with me, but he was really hanging out with me. None of my kids are huge sports fans either. He's a major music guy, but you know, he knows what's going on, and he's also like always on Twitter, and you know, he knows everything that's going on all the time. And so, you know, he knows about football. So we're watching this game together. And it occurred to me, super weirdly, but this is me, an Instagram post I had read that morning that Elizabeth Gilbert had written. Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that I have a lot of respect for Elizabeth Gilbert as a writer and as a person, but also I quote her often about talking about how to talk to fear. She has a really great theory about how to talk to fear and about how to say to fear, you know, you may ride in the car with us. We're not leaving you home. You may come with us because we can't deny you, but you can't pick the snacks and you can't navigate the route and you can't drive the car, but I'll buckle you in and you can come with us. And so anyway, I do quote her quite a bit and I like her. And so I follow her on Instagram. And she put out an Instagram post this morning that was just so lovely. And it was about her partner, her late partner, Rhea, and how Rhea had died tragically of cancer and how Elizabeth had nursed her till the day she died. But apparently Rhea was a huge football fan. And apparently there was nothing like watching football with Rhea because she was such a super fan and so enthusiastic and so in love with the game that there was nobody more fun and exciting to watch the game with. And so she had this whole long post about how they would say their prayers together in the morning. And on one particular morning, they were praying and Elizabeth was like, I pray for Rhea's pain levels to be at a place where she can handle it. And I pray for her tumors to shrink. And I pray for her to be able to keep food down. And like, so she's having all these very serious cancer-related prayers. And it was Rhea's turn. And Rhea was like, I forget what team. It probably was Kansas City. I wasn't reading it for the team at that point, but you know, I pray for my team to score a touchdown in the first 10 minutes. I pray for blah, blah, blah. I pray for the quarterback. And it was hilarious that she said, you know, that's all she cared about that day. She was so in the moment. She was so in the moment. And then at the very end of the Instagram post, Elizabeth Gilbert said, so when you're watching the game tonight, you know, root for your team and be in your space, but also enjoy as much as you enjoy the game. Enjoy the people that you're watching the game with. Enjoy the person sitting next to you. Really intentionally enjoy that, because I will never get to watch another football game with Raya, and I miss her so dearly. And I just read that and it really touched me. And I didn't really think about it that much for the rest of the day. And here I am sitting with Oliver, my 15-year-old son, my little man, you know, who I've gone through so much life with. And I was tempted in that moment, or in that example of my life, like not just that moment, but like I just had come home from a grueling 3-day ballet competition, which requires a lot of parents and of kids, and driving and living in a hotel and all that. And I was tempted to just be like, I don't want to watch this game. I want to go upstairs, or like to tell Oliver, go sit on the couch. I don't want to be crowded, or like there. That's me. I don't always want that much energy like right up on me. But on the other hand, he doesn't always want to be that close to me. And I just thought of Elizabeth Gilbert's post and I was like, oh my God, like I want to be in the space of the people I love. I want to be in their energy. I don't want to keep missing it because I keep allowing myself to be lured into these like low vibration needs, these like, I need to be alone, or I need a break, or I need a minute. I want to connect when I can connect. And in having that intention as a result of reading that post, I was really able to bring myself into the moment and have a great time, have a really great time with my son and with my family. And we were all watching the game, and none of us are super sports fans. So, I mean, it was just hilarious how we were all getting into it and we were all voting for Kansas City because we're just a bunch of underdog fans. And when they pulled it off in the end, it was like, I was like crying. It was so crazy. I really enjoyed it. And then we kind of stayed up late, kind of winding down from that. And I had to get up early and blah, blah, blah. So I'm a little tired this morning, but it was absolutely worth it. And what I will say to you guys is, you know, take a little piece of what Elizabeth Gilbert gave me, which is whatever you're doing today, whatever you're getting involved in, if you find yourself annoyed, or if you find yourself wanting to, you know, succumb to whatever pain sensations you're feeling, or find yourself in a space where you just want to reject the world because of you, because of issues that you're working out but aren't things that need to define you, maybe pause and like just be in the moment. Smile a little broader, you know, connect with somebody on a deeper level. I think it will make you feel better. It certainly made me feel better. So anyway, for what it's worth, that's what happened to me yesterday. Now, here we are today. So as we speak, today is February 7th, I believe. Let me look at my calendar. Yes, this podcast will air on February 7th, which means 2 weeks from today, I will be traveling out to Chicago to teach with Dr. Strax in Evanston, Illinois, which is right outside of Chicago, right outside the city, near the campus of Northwestern. We will be teaching a 2-day workshop, Freedom from Chronic Pain, and it will be my first live event of the season. As far as I know, there are still tickets available. Please, if you want to learn from me live, if you want to really dig in and change your life, sign up. Sign up. You have 2 weeks left, and until it sells out. It may sell out before that. But I really hope, I know a lot of you guys are coming, and I cannot wait to meet you, and it's going to be an epic, transformative weekend, so I hope to see you there. What else? Oh, just in general, if you want to find me, if you want to find all my stuff, go to www.thecureforchronicpain.com and check me out. go on the resources tab. A ton of the stuff I offer is free. And I also have a book on Amazon. It's called The Meaning of Truth. And I also have an online course called Freedom from Chronic Pain that can guide you through this whole process as if I am with you. All right. Well, we have a very big topic to talk about today. And so let's get into it. Food, elimination diets, fear, restrictions, trigger foods. I don't know how other many buzzwords there are. There's probably a lot. But I've been hearing a ton about foods on my Journal Speak page. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, if you are interested in being in my online community, of course that's free. Just go to Facebook and search Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. And it's a private group. Nobody sees your posts but the members of the group. And I spend a lot of time there every day, and it's an amazing community. And so a lot of people have been bringing up food, and not just food the way we classically talk about food, not just food because like people have weight issues or something like that. Food restrictions, gluten restrictions, nightshade vegetable restrictions, which is like tomatoes and eggplant, sugar restrictions, fat, different trigger foods that lead people to perceive that they have certain symptoms. Now, let me start by really owning my ignorance. I am not a nutritionist. I'm not a medical doctor. I do not have any training in, I'm not an allergist. I don't have training in food at all. Okay? So when you are listening to me, you will listen to me because you're listening to me, Nicole, with my experience. So what I am is I am a chronic pain psychotherapist who's been in practice for a couple decades, who has seen the most transformative, incredible, miraculous changes in people from myriad chronic conditions, everything ranging from fibromyalgia to migraines to back, neck, shoulder, knee, elbow, ankle, foot, everywhere on the body pains, irritable bowel disease, people who were stricken with irritable bowel disease who had tons and tons of symptoms every day, whether they be diarrhea, constipation, bloating, stomach pains, acid reflux, GERD. Okay, so I've been seeing that all these years. Skin disorders, eye disorders like tearing and crusting. All sorts of pelvic pain disorders, neuropathy, all over the body neuropathy. Okay, so that's me. That is absolutely my expertise. So that I have seen, but I am not a nutritionist. The reason that I decided to qualify it like that is because when I speak right now, I'm going to speak from my experience. I can't tell you what it means to have a gluten allergy. I can't tell you what it means, why a doctor ever thought that certain foods, elimination of them, would make your pelvic pain go away. Or like your interstitial cystitis, I believe, is thought to be triggered by certain foods. I have no idea why they say that, nor do I stand in judgment of the fact that they say that. So what I'm going to talk about today is based on my experience, because what I think a lot of people do is they listen to someone talk, but they listen to someone talk from a place of fear sometimes. Not necessarily, but sometimes. So if you're listening to someone talk from a space of fear, you might be tempted to say to them, right, but what about the fact that, you know, medical research shows that gluten does this, this, and this? And I might say, yes, medical research, I guess, I haven't read it, but I guess medical research says that. But I am going to say that my experience absolutely contradicts medical research. Like absolutely contradicts medical research. So I don't want to criticize the medical research. You know, medical research also says that if you have a bulging disc, that causes pain, which I believe it absolutely does not. Medical research also says that if you have acute degenerative spondylolisthesis with an MRI that looks like mine, there's no way for you to be walking upright past the age of 40 unless you have spinal fusion surgery. Well, that didn't happen to me. That didn't happen to me, and that didn't happen to anybody I've ever worked with, that they needed that surgery in order to be pain-free. So, you know, you see where I'm coming from. Anyway, you see where I'm coming from. So I know that when we are struggling and we're in pain and we go to a doctor, someone we trust, and that doctor can open up a document or a medical book or their brain and say, okay, yeah, right, you have this set of symptoms. I have studied this, and it shows that if you eat gluten or if you eat wheat, which might be the same thing, or if you eat these certain vegetables, or, you know, you might want to take out, you know, wine or vinegar. I literally, this is where I'm saying, I don't know anything about what the restriction is because it's never mattered to me, that you will have a cessation in your symptoms. And so anyone in fear, of course, would say, yes, of course, I'll do anything. I just don't want to be in pain. And so they're going to reduce or eliminate these foods. And many a person has come into my office and they've been on several types of elimination diets. Their diet has become so restricted that they're down to several foods and they are living in abject terror of food. And I educate them on journal speak. I educate them on the mind-body system. I educate them on what the brain and the nervous system are doing and why. And if this is confusing to you, maybe this is your first podcast, go back, binge them all. I explain everything in detail about what's happening with your brain and your nervous system and why your symptoms are being generated. And it's very simple and it's very, very reversible. So they, you know, they're nervous and they're scared and they come to me and I explain this to them. I explain to them what they need to do, that it is simple, but it is not easy, that they are going to have to do this work, this emotional excavation to remove the fight or flight status from their nervous system to bring themselves to rest and repair. They sometimes resist, they sometimes don't resist, you know, everybody's different. However, once I explain this to them and they do the work and they start becoming increasingly and incredibly better, I say to them, I have a secret for you. It doesn't matter what you eat. And they're like, oh, really? Because I was so scared of food and I was journaling about how I hate my restrictions and how I hate my elimination diet. My opinion, my loves out there, your elimination diet is causing you so much anger and so much fear. It is putting double into the nervous system what is even being put in from your repressed emotions of childhood, daily life, and your personality. Like, the diet itself is toxic because it is generating more fear than it could ever control by changing your microbiome. You know, just to throw it in there, I have clients who have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on functional practitioners who are giving them supplements and the doctor themselves because they're not covered by insurance. And they do my work. They stop the supplements, they're eating everything they want, and they're totally symptom-free. And I'm not sitting here trying to play God, guys. I'm not saying, oh, my work is the only work. I can only just speak from what I know, though. And it's like sometimes I feel arrogant or I feel like I'm being grandiose from saying what I'm saying, but it's like it's true. And all I want to do is heal you. All I want to do is help you. And if you are on this crazy elimination diet and you're having symptoms like no change in your symptoms or flux, you know, ebb and flow in your symptoms, which, by the way, it's totally normal. That would happen no matter what, because this is brain science. It has nothing to do with what you're eating, except for the fact that what you're eating is making you really angry. And I'm not suggesting to just take your elimination diet and throw it out the window because that would cause you great fear. But if you are just doing this work, if you start from ground zero, listen to my teachings and do this work for yourself, I'm telling you something. You can eat anything you want. Anything you want. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And you know what another the reason I'm sorry is? Because another thing I hear a lot is one of my parts of my fear is I'm scared of myself. I'm scared if I just stop this restrictive diet, I'm just going to eat like a maniac. I'm going to be, you know, obese. And that, if that's a fear, guys, we got to deal with that. Like that's real. That's a real fear. And that's something that we have to address in the journal speak practice and in the whole mind body system of self care. You can't just keep yourself at bay. There are too many side effects. That's living in fear. If you are doing something to protect yourself from yourself because you fear what you might become if you don't do X, Y, or Z, that is a fear-driven life, my friend, and it is going to cause you tons of TMS. So just understand that. I feel very strongly through my experience. Like I said, it's all experience. Of watching people. When I first started this work, I did it for people generally with pain disorders. When I first started, so this is years and years and years ago, I was being referred in from Dr. Sarno's practice. He actually was my referring physician. And so I would mostly get people with back pain or people with structural pain, knee pain. Like I'm thinking back to my old practice and like what I used to see in New York. And it wasn't that people knew that they could come for him, to him for stuff like IBS and other and pelvic pain and stuff like that. I don't know if he saw any patients like that, but I think if he did, they were rare. I know he used to talk about the symptom imperative in his teachings, like in his books. He would talk about what was a TMS equivalent, but I don't think he ever publicized it, at least in his working career, enough that he was getting droves of people with irritable bowel and with migraines and with fibromyalgia and with other, you know, certainly not pelvic pain. And so, and I could be wrong, but I guess from my perspective, I just got a lot of structural pain patients. And back then, I never even knew. It literally, I know you might laugh at me, it never even occurred to me that what you eat had anything to do with your health other than, of course, your weight, your heart health, your cardiovascular health. I'm trying to think, your blood pressure. You know, I know you should need a lot of sodium. My dad had high blood pressure, but like, I did not understand that it was important to, or it was even suggested to eat foods like to reduce inflammation, let's say. That was never something that I understood in my, you know, early 30s when I was practicing. So I guess what I'm saying is that as I learned that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I started seeing patients who had inflammatory disease, maybe symptoms of autoimmune disease or irritable bowel or obviously acid reflux type situations, and then pelvic pain. And I was like, wait, foods? They're telling you to change your foods for this? And it's not that it sounded crazy. It just wasn't helping anybody that I met, anybody. It literally wasn't helping anybody. And even if it was helping them a little bit, it wasn't eliminating their symptom, and it wasn't causing them to have a life of peace and happiness. They were not being fueled by love, like literally at all. And so so I said, well, let's do this work. And then let's just try eating anything you want, like at all. And every single one of them is eating anything they want. Like every single one of them. I'm not joking. I don't know any of it. Like the only difference is, like, I'll tell you, for example, I don't like eating raw onions because they repeat on me. Like, I just keep tasting them in my mouth for like all day. It doesn't affect my health. I just choose not to eat raw onions because I don't like how that feels. You know, so I'm not saying that food can't affect you. If I eat sugar in the morning, like before I eat protein, I will feel really like off, sort of like that feeling of hypoglycemia. That it literally could be TMS for all I know, but I choose not to. I don't like to eat like a donut for breakfast. It just doesn't make me feel well. So I choose not to do it. So I'm not suggesting that there's no effect of food on our bodies. I think there's a great effect. I think there's nothing better for you than eating whole, healthy foods that fuel you, that make you feel good, that don't make your sugar levels spike. I get it. And I know, I believe in healthy eating, because somebody was sort of challenging me on my page and I was saying, yes, 100%. There's no hesitation. I believe in healthy eating. I believe in responsible eating. I believe in listening to your body and feeling what makes you feel good. But I do not believe that anybody with any chronic condition must eliminate certain foods from their systems. I cannot speak for what it means to have a gluten allergy. I don't even know if a gluten allergy is a legitimate, real thing. I don't know. I'm not saying I do. Don't get upset with me. I'm saying I don't know. For all I know, someone who thinks they have a gluten allergy could need to do their emotional work, because this is brain science, and they'll be able to eat all the gluten they want. I don't know. You know, so I can't say whether I know or not, but what I can say to you absolutely is, in my experience, the people I have worked with have opened their arms to every food that they enjoy. Because a lot of these foods that they're telling you to restrict are really healthy, like tomatoes and eggplant and a piece of whole wheat bread. Like I enjoy that. Dairy, I enjoy that, you know, and that's just me. But you must do what's right for you. You know, the reason that this podcast was originated, this particular one, is because somebody wrote on my page, I ate a hamburger with the bun today and it was absolutely delicious. And it was just this very joyful post about how she had a hamburger with a bun. Guys, like, we're just here to live, you know? We're just here to live and enjoy ourselves. And she had this hamburger with the bun and she was so overjoyed at how delicious it was. And she had no symptoms after. And it's like, that's the way this works, guys. That is the way this works. And so for me to see that, and for all these many, many people underneath her to post, good for you, oh my God, you're an example to me, I want to try, I want to get there, you know, I can't do that, I'm scared of that, whatever. Anyone can eat anything they want. Of course, it's better to have a whole foods diet. Of course, it's better not to eat processed foods. Of course, it's better not to eat tons of sugar. Of course, a million times, of course. However, you can have a piece of cake at your son's birthday party, no matter what's in it, unless it's going to turn you into, you know, throw you into anaphylaxis. Like, you must be free to live. You can be free to live, but this work must be done first. Okay, so done with my experiential rant, let's talk about what gets you there. And here you will see me playing the same note from my instrument that I always play, which is, there are three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. If you believe that this can work for you, and if you don't go and read my book and listen to my podcasts and come on my TMS, my Journal Speak page and read Dr. Sarno's work on TMS, you will believe. You'll believe from our powerful example of the millions of people that have healed. You'll believe from learning the brain science. So the first thing is believe. The second thing, which you cannot sidestep, is do the work as I teach it every day like a warrior, followed by 10 minutes of loving kindness meditation. You cannot sidestep doing the work. This is brain science. Your nervous system will be unable to release the repressed emotions and allow yourself to heal and come into rest and repair. If you do not do the work, it will not be able to do it. So you must do the work, and then you have to practice ample patience and kindness for yourself. No matter what you need to say in your journal speak, you are a good, kind, loving person. Even if you act like an asshole sometimes, you're a good, kind, loving person in your heart, and I can find that person in there. I see that person in you. No matter how you present to me, I see you. And I know you can see you too. And if you do the work with belief and patience and kindness for yourself, you will be able to regulate your nervous system back to a space of rest and repair, and you will be able to eat anything you want. anything you want. Your symptoms will be gone. You know, you're still going to be a human being. You're still going to feel things. You're still going to have pain sometimes. And like it'll come through your body and you'll say, oh, there you are. I guess I have something to feel. You know, guys, sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they are literally interchangeable. Literally. So the point of the matter is that if you get yourself into that space, nothing is inflaming you. The inflammation comes from your brain and your nervous system. It does not come from the foods you eat. Trying to change your diet in order to make yourself less inflamed, to me, feels like putting a Band-Aid on a tumor. It's, you're not getting underneath to what's really going on. And so the only thing you're doing is you're trying your best to do stuff on the surface to try to get the symptom to go away. And if it worked, I guess I would say, okay, well, that's your choice. You know, if you really can't bring yourself to find the willingness to do this inner work, then I guess as long as you just eat five different things your whole life and, you know, always say no thank you to anything extravagant or to cake at a birthday party or to a glass of wine now and then, as long as you're not an alcoholic and, you know, all those things, as long as you're comfortable doing that, then great. But it's not working. That's the thing. I meet people all the time and they're like, well, it's not working. I've restricted my diet down to nothing and I've got symptoms all over the place. And so I say, well, this is where we come to the place, my friends, where we don't have a choice. I want you pain-free. I do not want you suffering with symptoms and leading half a life. And so if that's the case, then the only answer is to do the inner work, because the nervous system is the part that is inflamed, not your X, Y, and Z, your stomach, your pelvis, your whatever leads to autoimmune. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I can't speak in technical terms. I speak from experience. I speak from my education, my science experiment I did on my own body that was a resounding success. I am a healthy, vibrant, active person with a severe spinal condition, which, who cares? I don't care what my spine is shaped like. It doesn't matter to me. I live a full and active life. I eat anything I want. I travel and lug my kids' dance suitcases up and down stairs, and I'm helpful, and I can give big hugs and lift my kid into my arms. Nothing scares me because nothing's wrong with me. Something's different with me, but nothing is wrong with me. And I'm going to postulate that nothing is wrong with you either. So if you are struggling with food, if you are on a restrictive diet or an elimination diet, or if you're doing lots of stuff around this and you're still not seeing a cessation in your symptoms, I would encourage you to, I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do with your food. Like, do whatever you want, you know, stay on the diet, but do the work knowing that you're taking the diet with no meaning. If you can stop giving the diet all this meaning, that's the first step. You know, eat whatever it is that you feel comfortable eating, but don't say, I'm only eating this because if I don't eat this, I'll be sick. Just say, okay, well, this is, you know, just what I'm eating today, so it's fine. And I'm going to do the emotional work, and then I'm going to start gently adding in stuff that I used to not eat and see how it feels. You know, be smart about it. Don't be an idiot and just go eat like a dozen donuts or something. Like, be smart, but be free and lead with love and understand that there are many, many who have walked this path before you that are healed and that are eating anything they want. And if your concern is that you don't trust yourself and that you might go hog wild and just ruin yourself, then you have to bring that to your journal speak practice, my love, because that's no way to live either, in constant fear of ourselves. So I'm sending you big love today. This is a travel week for me for work. I'm going to New York for the rest of the week, so that's why I'm getting the podcast in this morning right after the Super Bowl. But so I won't have time for Q&A today, but I want to tell you guys that I send you big, big, huge love. I'm glad we were able to talk about this. So thank you to the members of my Journal Speak page that brought this topic up and so robustly commented on it, so I had the impetus to bring it here. a lot of exciting stuff happening right now, hopefully in New York, that will lead to more things that I will announce to you soon. And I just want to send big love to you. And I hope that you spend your time today intentionally connecting with people that you love, with people who matter to you, knowing that this moment, you guys, it's all we got. All right. Well, if you're enjoying this podcast, please jump over to iTunes and rate and review it. I really appreciate your comments and your thoughts. They make my day. And until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.